Business Leaders Forum. Welcome and thank you for joining us again this afternoon. I'm Neil Heinen, the editorial director of Medicine Magazine and WISC-TV. And on behalf of all of my colleagues from Medicine Magazine and Jeff Mayers from WISC Politics and WISCBusiness.com, Brian Clark, who's the editor of WISCBusiness.com and my partner up here, we welcome you to this forum. One thing I want to point out, typically we try to have the latest magazine available for you on your chair, but and this, I think, is a good thing. We've run out. and so what we did, Kent Palmer, our circulation director, put a sign-up sheet back on the table. If you just want to put your name on there, we'll be happy to get you a copy of the magazine. But it was a rather popular magazine. And I think it probably is rather complementary to what we're doing here today and what we're trying to do every month with these business leaders forum. And that's talk about the issue of business in that uniquely Madisonian way. And this month we did our second Best Places to Work survey and recognition of the companies that are considered wonderful places to work. We worked again with Rebecca Ryan's Next Generation Consulting Company, and it really is a fascinating piece on what people consider to be the assets of a really good business, and they're changing, and they've changed even in the 2 years since we did this last time around. So it was a rather popular topic. But one that I think might be reflected in some of the remarks from our speaker today, talking about business and the greater Madison region and community. I met Chuck a long time ago. I don't remember how far, but I watched him go through a number of pretty interesting career changes in this community, which make him, I think, really uniquely suited to talk to a lot of the disparate business interests that I think we all have and share in our interest in this community. Dr. Taylor is currently the Dean of the School of Business at Edgewood College. He served as Dean since July 2007, and right before that, before returning to Edgewood, where he had been, he was Vice President and Academic Dean at Herzing College, where he had the lead responsibility in helping Herzing obtain regional accreditation. He also established Reach and Teach, which was an incredible and award-winning community service project that provided free computer training for nonprofit organizations in Dane County. Chuck had come out and talked to our editorial board a couple of times about Reach and Teach. He received his PhD in curriculum and instruction from UW-Madison, his master's in education from the University of Oregon, and he has over 20 years of experience in academia, business, and publishing. He also served as the chief administrator of a branch campus of Cardinal Stritch University and has served as the director of the Department of Human Relations in the Madison School District, as director of the Multicultural Education Center at UW-Oshkosh, and ran his own publishing business for 14 years. He is a native of Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and he says a proud grandfather. No surprise there. He is also an author, a playwright, and a documentary producer. And playwright is something I'm going to ask him about before this lunch is over, because I'd like him to talk to us a little bit about Roar, the play. But first of all, and we sit through this, Chuck, we don't eat, we just sit and talk. But let me just ask you, I prepared for this by reading through the Dean's Report for spring of this year. And I think that's probably the best place I can start, is to ask you to share with our audience the Dean's Report.
Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon. Let me thank Neil Heinen first from the Madison Magazine and Brian Clark from Wisconsin Business for this opportunity to talk about Edgewood College's business school, and also for the opportunities to explore this afternoon some educational business partnerships with you today. At first, I felt a bit strange to be invited to a lunch meeting where I didn't get a chance to eat. But I remember stepping on one of those talking scales recently, and it said, come back when you're alone. So I guess missing a meal is not such a bad idea. No, I'm really honored to be with you today to dialogue about a college and a school that's making a real difference in our community. And I've placed a flyer at each of the tables that gives you a brief overview and some facts about our business school. And I want to take just 3 minutes to highlight three things today and answer Neil's question, and then I'll turn it back to Neil for some questions and simply have an informal dialogue with you this afternoon. I want to talk about what makes Edgewood unique. I want to discuss a new degree program that we're currently researching. And lastly, I want to sort of pick your brains on how we might obtain business support for some of our initiatives. What makes Edgewood unique? At Edgewood College, a degree is about more than how to make a living. It's also about how to make a difference in the community in which our graduates work and live. And I think this is demonstrated through the many community projects our students are involved in, ranging from helping people prepare their income taxes to working with the elderly. Our Dominican culture reinforces a commitment to service in an atmosphere that promotes compassion, community, and partnership. And these are not just words. They're backed by daily actions. Matter of fact, every freshman is required to take a human issues course, and Neil teaches one of these human issues courses that includes community service. Every business major must complete an internship in the community. And I think we're also unique because we counter the brain drain. You could almost see the skid marks of graduates leaving Wisconsin from other state schools, but over 70% of our alumni remain in Wisconsin. So an investment in Edgewood is an investment in our community. And I could give you many other examples why Edgewood is unique, but permit me to share one more. Our small class sizes means that our students are taught by experienced faculty and not teaching assistants. Our students can interact daily with some of the leading scholars in the state. So from the time they set foot on campus to the time they graduate, they're learning with the best and the brightest. And I want to talk just a minute about my passion, and that's a degree in urban and rural economic development. Most of our students at Edgewood are from rural Wisconsin, and most will never go home again once they graduate from college. And this is because they believe there are no jobs and there are limited opportunities for them to learn, for them to earn a living. So Wisconsin's rural areas are losing its future leaders by the droves. And the few students we have from inner cities feel the same way as our rural students. The only way they see out is to move out. But what if Edgewood could help train a new generation of students and give them the skills and knowledge to return home and help transform our inner cities and rural areas? What if a business school was committed to creating a curriculum and designing an educational experience that would do just that? So that's my vision for Edgewood. That's why we put together a planning team of educators, business and community leaders to explore offering a degree in urban and rural economic development. I believe our colleges and universities must become directly involved in helping to solve the real problems we face in our society and lend our talent and time to preparing the next generation to serve our state. There's a quote by Mary Jean Letendre that I take very seriously. This is the quote, "America's future walks through the doors of our schools every day." So this means that we have the opportunity, indeed the responsibility, to give students the skills they need to help create economic growth in their communities. As economic disparities widen in our society along race and class lines, educational institutions can no longer sit back and be spectators. We must get involved. And I believe this new degree will attract students from Wisconsin's rural and urban areas. I believe it will align our business program closer to Edgewood's mission and create hope and opportunity. And I also think it will position us for the changing demographics and new emerging economies. And we still will continue to offer our traditional business programs to students who choose that academic route. But I think this new program simply allows us to develop a new generation of business leaders who support sustainability and social entrepreneurism, that is, bringing entrepreneurial ideas and practices to solving systemic social and economic problems. But in order for us to be able to launch such a program and to raise scholarship monies for students to attend, we're going to have to create new partnerships with businesses who share this vision. And that's why I would welcome your ideas on how we might take this program from the idea stage to the reality stage. We're currently researching the curriculum we should teach. We've discussed the skill set we want the graduates to leave with, and we predict this program will have a tremendous impact on the state's economy over time. But we need to find planning dollars and implementation dollars to make this happen. Edgewood College is tuition-driven, with a relatively small endowment fund, so we have to be very creative when we bring new ideas to the table. I'm going to stop here and turn it back over to Neil and open it up for questions.
Well, Chuck, thanks. I understand that the curriculum isn't set yet, but just can you give us some broad idea of what it would look like?
Absolutely. And we had a planning committee. We met actually about 2 weeks ago to take a look at what are the skill sets that students should graduate from this program with. And we have a number of core courses that we think all students should be required to take. One is in social entrepreneurship. One is called Critical Topics in Economic Development. Of course, technology is in there, business strategic planning. And every student has to decide on an area of concentration, be that the rural area or urban area, so they specialize in a particular area. It could be elderly housing. It could be entrepreneurial opportunities in the inner city, whatever it is, but they have to specialize in something. And then there's a skill set. What is it that we want students to know and be able to do when they leave the program? Well, they have to be able to identify resources. So when they're sitting down with people in Blanchardville, they can say, we've looked at case studies at similar cities all across the country, and we think this type of program may work here, and here are the reasons why. They would have looked at a number of case studies. They would have known about federal and state and local resources. They would know how to bring the key players to the table to get things done. They would have experience in conflict management, and they would have been exposed to a wide range of experts who will be coming into the classroom to share their expertise.
Your experience at Stritch and then at Herzing, in addition to Edgewood, I think it gives you the opportunity to talk a little bit about smaller schools, perhaps the role that they play in business education. Obviously, Wisconsin is the dominant sort of business educator here, and it's competing with what are widely considered the top business schools in the world. So what is the role of Edgewood, of Herzing, in terms of business education?
Sure. I think all of these schools play a very important role, and each of them have their own particular niche. For instance, Herzing College specializes in innovation. They have a culture of innovation, so that if they see a particular problem, they sort of have resources attached to that problem, and they go after it. In the area of homeland security, that's a very specific example. Most colleges call it criminal justice. They have a criminal justice department. Herzing College looked at that same issue and said, where is this market going? Where is the greatest need? And so they gave it a different name. They did a market study, and this is what they came up with. But whether it's Cardinal Stritch or whether it's Edgewood or whether it's Herzing, I think each of us have our own unique niche. And Edgewood's unique niches are some of the things that I pointed out in my opening remarks, what makes us unique. Our whole culture of compassion and taking a look at business problems and galvanizing students around those problems.
Brian Clark has let it be known that it's a 50-50 proposition whether he can get through a question without coughing. So I'm going to take the risk, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Thank you. Every week, Wiz Business and other business publications have stories about factories that are shutting down, often in rural parts of the area, in rural parts of the state, and the same thing true in Milwaukee, in the inner city, or even in outlying areas. It seems to be the opposite in Madison, although there are shutdowns here. It seems like, as you said, the brains and the money is flowing here. Are there models for what other states have done to reverse that trend?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this new degree that we're proposing. We're going to be taking a look at what those models are and see which can be replicated here in Wisconsin. For instance, Magic Johnson, his business has done some wonderful work in inner cities. The things that he's done in Watts and on the East Coast and Washington, D.C. Has been incredible. He's marshaled a number of resources, a number of companies, and they go into an inner city and they literally transform it almost block by block. If you ever get a chance to go to L.A., visit the Watts area and the economic development activity that Magic Johnson Companies has completed there, you'll be amazed at the transformation of that community. And the same thing has happened in rural areas. What has not happened is that we haven't had a chance to study those models and see why they were successful, give students a chance to go out into communities and see if we can replicate those models. And that's what this new degree is proposing to do. If it can be successful elsewhere, why can't it be successful in inner city Milwaukee or Beloit? And we think that it can with the proper study and the proper application.
Now, that would suggest, though, that that this requires some relationships with the public sector, you know, as well as the rest of the public sector, private sector. What are your thoughts on the potential for working with Madison City government, you know, Dane County regional government, as well as the other more established business sectors?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, in order for this to be successful, you have to create partnerships. And the planning committee that we pulled together to plan this new degree in urban and regional economic development consists of public officials from the private sector, from the government sector, academicians. And so we've got a very rich team of people who are looking at this from all kinds of angles, and they're asking the right questions so that we make sure that we create a program that's going to be effective in the long run.
Chuck, what is the business student at Edgewood look like today? Who are they?
Well, typically they're female from a rural area, white female from a rural area. Matter of fact, 70% of our students at Edgewood are female. So we tell males, if you're looking for a wife, Edgewood is probably the place to come. But I think, and what's really encouraging to me is the number of women students who are going into business, who are really interested in social entrepreneurism, who are really interested in making a difference in their community, who are really providing some of the leadership that is badly needed. And I think if you look at our student organizations, if you look at who's providing the leadership on campus, you'll see that it's our female students.
Well, then, and you can broaden this beyond Edgewood. How about communities of color? Are students of color looking at business as a career?
Yeah, at Edgewood, the School of Business is the second largest school on campus. And students of color, when they come, they're choosing business in increasing numbers. Right now, our minority student population is about 8% of Edgewood's population. And, of course, our goal is to increase those numbers. If you look at the Madison Public School District, it's almost 40% of the Madison school population are 40% students of color. And so we've got to do a better job of outreach right here at home and make sure that we create opportunities for our students to attend.
Is there any special outreach for young black men? I mean, it's great that women are going to school, but are you doing anything to reach that other population?
Yeah, we're beginning to, but we need a more comprehensive, targeted approach. It's been my experience that if you want to increase the numbers of a particular population, you have to target that population, and you have to put resources behind that effort. And I think we've got a ways to go on that. But I think there is a consensus now on campus that diversity is going to be one of our priorities. And so we're going to be moving in that direction, I think, a lot more rapidly in the days ahead.
You touched on this a little bit, Chuck, but I guess, you know, I want to ask you specifically about the role of Edgewood in the Madison community, both your perception of what it is now and your vision for what you would like it to be. You know, whether it's the regional economic development plans that Thrive is developing, or just more targeted, you know, Dane County kind of regional stuff. It looks like there's an appetite for partnership that, you know, seems to be growing. And I don't know that Edgewood is particularly well known as a player in that partnership.
Yeah, I think Edgewood has tremendous potential. And I think once it begins to act on that potential, we could have a ripple effect in the community. One of my goals is to get, and I think not only my goal, but the other deans and the other administrators, is to get Edgewood more active and more actively involved in the community. And so we are beginning a number of outreach initiatives. I know in the School of Business, we not only meet with a number of different business groups, but also community groups. We just recently partnered with MATC to set up a multicultural business resource center in South Madison. and we have those kinds of initiatives going on in different parts of the city. In the area of diversity, when I was at Edgewood 5 years ago, one of the things that I wanted to do was to get the minority community and more closely aligned with Edgewood. And so I created at that time what was called the Diversity Institute on Wheels. And we simply took a bus of faculty and administrators all over the city of Madison in different communities of color. And we had a day of dialogue. And they had a chance to hear firsthand from community leaders what some of the key issues were and why students weren't going to Edgewood and what Edgewood's reputation was in the minority community. And I think that was a pretty eye-opening event for the campus. And I did the same thing when I was at Herzing College. And so it takes those kinds of initiatives to begin long-term relationships. But I think they're very critical because it lets the community know that there indeed is some interest and that we do, you know, value this population. And at some point, we're going to make an effort to strengthen that relationship.
This is a much broader question, but every day we read about the looming recession. Do you have a sense of how bad it's going to be nationally and also here in Wisconsin?
Well, for some people, I think we're already in a recession, and I think we need to acknowledge that. And the few comments that I made in the opening remarks, I talked about the economic disparities, and unfortunately, those gaps have widened. And my concern is, what are we going to do about that? And I think our response was this new proposal. Instead of standing idly by, I think there's something that institutions can do. And in the interim, we can have our students go out into communities to help them develop business plans and marketing plans. And we can have students who are not in business help with other types of activities like tax preparation or whatever the need may be. But I think things will probably get a lot more serious in terms of housing, in terms of jobs, and in terms of all those indicators that let people know that we're in a depression. I think in some communities we're already there.
You know, I think I'm going to start questions a little bit earlier because I want to take seriously Chuck's invitation to you to give feedback to him on this new program and on maybe what that curriculum should look like. Again, I want to thank Joe Plasterer of Stark Weather and Associates Strategic Communications, who's providing the webcasting for this business leaders luncheon today. And Joe will pass the mic around so that we capture the question. Questions or feedback for Chuck? Jen Winiger, and then Jeff.
Thank you, Chuck. I don't know if I wasn't listening closely enough or not, but would you please tell me again the primary differences between this program and a business degree, say, at UW, other than the size of the campus and the size of the classes?
Yeah, it's our value set. If you look at the flyer that's on your table, okay, let me just maybe just point out a couple of things there. The very first paragraph, our business education is grounded in the Dominican values of truth, justice, community, partnership, and service. Now, those may sound like lofty words, but almost in every class there's some type of reinforcement, whether it be human issues, and students know that before they leave Edgewood, they're going to be involved in some type of community service, some type of outreach, and every day there's an opportunity for them to serve the community. And I think that gives us our uniqueness in that when we leave here, I think our students have a social conscience and a social responsibility that may not be as emphasized at other institutions.
Jeff.
So I was struck by what you said about rural Wisconsin. So I think Lafayette County is still the poorest county in Wisconsin. If not, maybe Menominee County is. So two rural counties. Why do you think rural Wisconsin is left behind in terms of economic development? I mean, we've been talking about this in the state for, since I can remember.
Yeah, and I don't think the problem is new. I think the way we need to look at the problem probably needs to have a newer look. But part of the problem is like in the inner cities, if you have most of your students who do go to college that don't go back into the community, then it sort of, you know, creates that gap. And in the inner cities, 20 or 30 years ago, you had a middle class population there. And so you had a tax base, you had a wide range of businesses that supported that city. But when the suburbs became more popular and people left and migrated out of the city, then you have left a lower income class with less resources. And the same thing can be said in some of these rural areas. But I think my challenge is if you look at some of the rural areas and inner cities that have been turned around and are making progress, what is it about that, you know, that we can replicate? And I think having a degree program like that, where we can look at those programs and come up with case studies and best practices, and then having an annual conference for people in the state to come look, see, I think we can begin to make a difference in those communities.
Hi, Chuck. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about how this degree program interacts with the several hundred returning adult students that you have, the 250 or MBA students that you might have, and how these programs might interact, or if it's really a separate group altogether.
No, we want to make sure that people can enter this new degree program. It may end up being a master's degree program because of the higher skill set that's required. But if a person does not have a master's degree, they can come in as a special student. They can also come in just to obtain a certificate in five or six courses so that they have the skill set they need to go back and concentrate on a particular area in their community. And also undergraduate students will be able to enter the program as well as a minor or something like that. We do have a quite vibrant adult learning program, as you know, Scott, and those students will also be able to migrate right into this degree program as well.
I had a conversation probably 5 years ago with Brian Howell, who passed away a couple of years ago, about Edgewood. I was thinking of going into the MBA program at the time. And he said, what's going on down there? There seems to be something very exciting and very interesting. How do we get the word out about all of the neat things that are going on campus?
That's a great question. We have our PR person here today, so I'm glad he's in the audience. He'll hear that. And also sitting right next to you is our director of our MBA program, Anita Macha, so I'm sure that she'll do what she can as well. But I'm very excited about some of the changes that Anita has brought to the MBA program. We now have an executive speakers series. We have new alumni relationships that we didn't have just 6 months ago. We have corporate partnerships. We have an international experience for our students. So we're doing some wonderful things. And so I think you're right. All we do need is to get the word out. And I think events like this allow us, gives us the opportunity to help spread the word. Thank you.
Just a quick question in terms of, I think, following up on what Jen was saying in terms of the values. Obviously, within the Diocese of Madison, Edgewood is the only Catholic college. And I think that some of the principles tend to be very blanket for most programmatic skill sets that an institution would have. UW-Madison certainly has ethics, socially responsible, those types of things. I was in Green Bay last week, and it was a group of Catholic leaders, of CEOs and high-level management of companies. What makes, or what do you do to instill that we, not everybody in the program obviously is Catholic, but that those that are graduating and that are Catholic are receiving that true value of a Catholic education, not the Dominican values, but the Catholic, the underpinnings of the Catholic faith.
Yeah, Edgewood still has a strong Catholic identity. And matter of fact, that question comes up all the time. And so there are numerous opportunities for students who want that Catholic experience to get so. And that ranges from Mass to actually, you know, being involved in a number of Catholic type activities. And many of our students take advantage of that. I don't think we'll ever lose that identity. I think it's a very important part of what makes Edgewood unique. But thank you for that question.
I have a question about the long-term employability of the person that would graduate from the urban program. Mm-hmm. The Menominee and the Lafayette County, do they come in, consult, and leave, or is there a long-term career for a person in a county like that?
Yeah. One of the things that we, the committee looked at is what type of jobs would these graduates, be qualified for once they left the program. And I'm happy to report that we had a stack of potential jobs this thick. Most cities and counties have economic development offices and even private businesses, especially utility companies. They could work in those areas. They could work in church-sponsored development initiatives. I've got a list right here about 15 different types of jobs. They could be a social entrepreneur consultant. They could work in housing development. They could work in rural development, green jobs, areas of sustainability, advocacy, nonprofits. And so when we were looking for the types of jobs and the prices that the pay range, the minimum job was $65,000 on up to about $120,000. So this is not going to be a poor type of degree. It's going to be a type of degree that you're creating economic development and economic opportunity.
Joel.
I actually have a question for you, Dr. Taylor. When you transported your faculty and staff from their locations into areas to meet community leaders where they maybe did not have strong relationships, to what extent did that effort to move them out of their comfort zone lead to new relationships that's helping you right now in your new role?
Yeah, I think it. The first thing it did was raise awareness. People were amazed at the information that they learned about the city that they had lived in, some for many, many years, that they simply did not know. It also alleviated some of the myths that they had about South Madison and other areas of the city. And then secondly, I had them fill out a journal, for lack of a better term, so that there would be some type of follow-up. I didn't want this to be a fly-by-night meeting, oh yeah, we went there and nothing happened. So I wanted to make sure that there was some type of follow-up. So out of that was created internships. They were created speakers that came to class, other types of tangible relationships, and even now people talk to me about that experience. And the same thing with Hersey. The most important thing, though, it led to them considering Edgewood to refer students to, and the same thing happened at Hersey College. So now we have a pipeline that we didn't have before.
In your report, Chuck, you suggest that Dennis Collins is your star. Well, stars can be a good thing, and they can draw attention to your program. And I'm wondering, what more you might do to promote, stars within the college, to attract stars here, perhaps, to be part of the college, or to highlight graduates, alumni who have gone on to be successful in the business world who might help with a little higher profile.
Yeah, and I think any successful program depends on the quality of your faculty, and we do have some outstanding faculty. One of the things that I've done since I've been there is introduce what's called faculty in the news. And so anytime a faculty member does something or get an award or does a major speech or like that, we try to feature him or her. But I think what's really crucial for us is someday to establish an endowed chair so that we really can honor our faculty and really require or attract the type of talent that I know Edgewood can attract. And so we're constantly looking for ways to get the word out about our faculty. And I'd welcome any other ideas that you may have, but we also send out press releases on a regular basis. Our PR, Ed Taylor's here, and he does that on a constant basis to try to get the word out to the community.
I had a question. What is the cost of tuition at Edgewood, and how do you help students get over that hurdle so they can go to your school?
That's a very important question, and I had the tuition printed out this morning. It's about $613 per credit at the graduate level. For undergraduates, I think it's about $10,000 or more per year. So we're not cheap. What we try to do, we have a very limited scholarship fund. We have no scholarship funds for graduate students. And so part of my job as dean and part of Scott's job as dean is to fundraise. And so we're constantly trying to look for new resources to help our students attend. And that can explain one of the reasons that our numbers to our efforts to attract students of color have been less successful than what we would have liked. But we're putting in place a number of unique scholarships. One is called the Community Scholars Program, and other initiatives like that to sort of counterbalance that high tuition cost.
Thank you. Hi, Chuck. It's me again. This is a question for Chuck and Neil. Speaking of stars, I just found out about 45 minutes ago that one of our stars in Madison Magazine, our editorial director, is moonlighting at your college. Can you tell us a little bit about the course, and is it involved in the business program?
Yes, well... augmenting one's meager salary as a magazine employee is an important consideration. And if you only knew what they were paying adjunct professors at Edgewood. It's pretty much a volunteer job. There's no direct relationship, really, between the human issues class that I'm teaching and the business school. But through the breadth of human issues classes, and they are required for every student at Edgewood, they have to finish a human issues class. A number of them do connect, and more often in community relationships, in a lot of the service that goes on in the neighborhoods with various community groups. But also there are some terrific overseas projects that these human issues classes get involved in. The point of human issues is to really reflect the Dominican values, as Chuck suggested, in education, and to put them to work every day in both classwork and in volunteer service. But part of my role, and Edgewood has always been very welcoming to people around the community to teach, to co-teach, to be on the adjunct faculty, is to get people from the business world and from other sectors in the community to be part of the campus experience for these students. So what I try to do in my class is certainly to bring in business leaders who can speak to the issues that we're talking about, to bring in civic leaders and public officials from around the community. You may know of some more specific direct applications between human issues and business.
Well, first let me say I agree with how you characterize Neil as a star. I agree with that. He's made a tremendous contribution to our campus, and we're happy that he's here. Let me correct the tuition. I did find the sheet. The tuition for undergrad is $9,000 per semester, so that's 18 grand a year. So that's why you see it's pretty steep. But Neil is correct in the sense that every freshman student has to take a human issues course, and he's also right in the sense that we're constantly looking for people with this type of experience to partner with one of our faculty members or even teach a human issues course on their own, because we really value that hands-on, real-world experience to sort of broaden our students' education. So if folks are interested, I'd be happy to refer you to that office.
Well, I was wondering, one of the reasons I asked is Neil helps us a lot at Downtown Rotary with what we have annually called an ethics symposium.
Yes.
And the reason we do this is that there aren't any ethics courses in the high school curriculum anymore. And I'm not sure, other than Dennis Collins, who in our Madison community, in the educational community, is taking on that role. And after talking to the high school teachers, and they come from all over Dane County, they come from Wanakee and Verona and some prairie, and bring their high schoolers to this ethics symposium, there just seems to be a need. Every day there seems to be more of a need for that kind of a inclusion in the curriculum. So because of Neil's participation, I thought perhaps that was part of the human issues curriculum, and I'm understanding that it's a little different, but I was assuming that students that went to Edgewood may get more of that than UW or other business courses?
And the answer to that is they do, because it's embedded in a number of our courses, not only at the undergraduate level, but at the graduate level as well.
And is that growing, considering everything that's happening in our world and our society?
Well, it's constantly talked about, and like I said, it's embedded in our courses, and students write papers on it, they debate about it, and they're exposed to it, and so it's a part of this whole value system.
I think we've had Moses on Channel 3 talking about some ethics issues having to do with business as well. I would like you to just talk for a minute about Roar. I would like people to hear about it. This is a play that Chuck has written. Its world premiere is slated for September, and it's gotten some advanced publicity. But in terms of drawing attention to the college, I can think of worse things than having the dean of the business school as a playwright. Talk about Roar and where it came from and what it's going to look like in September.
All right, thank you. I would ask that you do one thing for me, and that is go to the website roartheplay.com, roartheplay.com, and that'll give you sort of an overview. The play tells the story about a young village girl and how she brought the divided worlds of villagers and beasts together. It's a story of self-discovery, tolerance, learning to respect differences, and getting along with other folks who may be different from you. Last week they had Arts Day Wisconsin at the Monona Convention Center, and they allowed us to do a scene from the play there. And so according to the people that were there, they thought the play had legs. So that was a good sign. It is our goal to premiere the play in September at the Overture Center. We did filmings of three scenes of the play last September at the Overture Center. It has about 20 characters. It is about an hour and a half. It's a musical. It has 12 songs. Leotha Stanley, who some of you may know, wrote the musical score. It was dedicated to my grandson, Kemet, and to my goddaughter, Maureen. Kemet is black. Maureen is white. Kemet lives in the city. Maureen lives in the country. One's a boy, one's a girl, but they both are our future. And so the play, the people who've seen it, I think, have been moved by its message. The Capital Times called it a musical story with a message, something to that effect. But I'm extremely excited about it, and the response that people had to it. I had Wright middle school kids take a look at it. I had Windsor elementary school kids look at it. And it passed the kids' test. They gave it a thumbs up. So I think it'll do all right in the long run. But thank you. Thank you for asking.
Well, now we've really broadened the topic area about which to question Chuck. Any other questions for Dean Taylor? Great. Thank you, Chuck.
Well, thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Our next business forum, Madison Magazine and WISBusiness.com, is April the 29th. And Paul Bonner from the Wisconsin Alumni Association is going to be here, and that should be a great lunch. There's a lot going on in her world. So we invite you to join us then. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, Dan.
Nice job. That's great.